Okay, we'll be in James 4, 13 through 17. Very familiar passage. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for all the good words of praising you. And thank you for your merciful forgiveness and mercy and grace that we all experience. And Lord, what a great question James asks. What is your life? So just challenge us today as we begin a new year with this thought. And we pray this by faith in Christ's name. Amen. Well, that's a great question. What is your life? You know, the older you get, as you look back on your life and all your memories, you do realize that time seems to fly, doesn't it? You realize time never changes. It just stays the same every single day, but it does seem to go by so quickly. You look back and you think, wow, it was just yesterday that I was doing this or doing that, or I was in school or in college or working this job. And if you use social media at all, one of the things that Facebook does is if you posted a picture especially, and I don't know how it chooses it, but it'll choose to bring that up to your post. And it'll say, 11 years ago, this was you. And you'll go, that was 11 years ago? It's fun to see those, but also you realize, wow, you're kidding me. One came up this morning on my phone, and it was 4 years ago. I took a picture of the sign out front. It must have been our first Sunday at this location. I thought, wow. Isn't it amazing how time flies? Well, I looked up a few statistics about my life. And these are a couple of days old, but I'll just read them as they are because I'd have to look them up right now to be totally accurate. I have roughly 118 days until my next birthday. Now it'll be like 115 or so. I'll be 62 years old when that day comes. And I knew that. That wasn't any big news. There have been 22,527 days from the day I was born up to today. I've been alive for 22,520 some odd days, probably 530 days. That's a lot of days. I've been alive for 740 months. That's a lot. I'm feeling old. 540,657 hours. 32,439,455 minutes I've been alive. And if I have slept 8 hours daily since I was born, I have slept a total of 7,509 days. Now get this, or 20.56 years. I'm 62 and I've slept about 20 years of my life. Well, that's you too. So basically, you spent 33% of your life sleeping. Makes sense, right? 8 hours asleep, 8 hours working, 8 hours awake. That's a pretty good average. Well, that's almost depressing to think you've slept 20 years of your life. Since night and day always follows each other, there have been precisely 763 full moons after I was born. That explains why every so often I go, oh, I often wonder that, why I'm always howling. Well, that's why. Now, here is an interesting one. My first 1 billion seconds of being alive happened on December 31st, 1992. And nobody even got me a cake or anything. That was just a little bit after, let's see, I think I was at my first church. I think that was 1991. So New Year's Eve, 92, my first 1 billion seconds. This is interesting, at least it is to me. The year 2023 is the first year that the calendar will match my birth year perfectly. You could pull up the 1961 calendar and today would be Sunday, January the 1st, 1961. My birthday, April 24th, whatever day, I'll be able to know exactly what day. I used to know that. Now, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? No, I thought it was kind of interesting, all right? But my point is, and you can put the next slide up, Kenny. The point is, like this hourglass, or this, no, we should go back one slide. There you go. Like this hourglass, you see the sand going down. It just quickly goes, does it not? It just so fast. And our world recognizes that. And one of the ways you know what our world is thinking is by the songs that it writes. The world writes songs about what's important, about what's on its mind, about its burdens. And if you were to look through all the song titles down through the years, you could see them matching what's going on in the world. The world's consumed with time, and it's reflected in its music. Here's some songs you might remember. If I could save time in a bottle. The first thing I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make my days last forever. If words could make wishes come true. I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But here's the conclusion. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. One group when I was in high school sang this little lyric, time keeps on slipping. Anybody know the end? Into the future. And I believe it had a little echo on it. Maybe we can get Scott to echo that on his guitar. Here's a song I found that I'm not really familiar with this group, but this lyrics are, every year is getting shorter, never seem to find the time. Plans that either come to naught or half a page of scribbled lines. Cher sang this little famous song, if I could turn back time. If I could turn back time. Fiddler on the Roof, great musical, by the way. This song came from that. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the days. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly fly the years. Is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember growing older. When did they? You see, the world knows the importance of time. And just a few lyrics from some of the songs through the years show that the world is always thinking about time and how it flies by so quickly, and you're holding your little baby in your arms and now you're walking her down the aisle. Now you can put the next slide up, Kenny. God's Word talks a lot about time, doesn't it? Psalm 31, 14 through 16, a phrase in that says, my times are in your hand. My times. This psalm, the psalmist wrote it in the context of enemies, of being persecuted, people pursuing his life, being under hardship and being under difficulty. And he wrote this wonderful verse. And in this context, life is hard, life is pressing, things don't always work out when they should work out in my timetable. But he said this wonderful truth, but I know that my times are in your hand. One Hebrew scholar that lived years ago said this, the times, with whatsoever they bring with them, are in the Lord's hand. Every lot is of His appointment or sending. And that's how you live in peace. To know in all the trials and all the troubles and all the people we're praying for to be saved, and all of the situations, as Abby shared, that we're in, of needing God to move because it's so important, my times are in His hand. And think of all the different people, the situations, the tragedies, the victories that have been in your life, not just this past year, but in years gone by, and every one of them were right in the Lord's hands. And everything that will enter into our life from this moment forward, they're in the Lord's hands. If you were to pick up a date book for 2023 and you were to look through the pages, they'd all be what? Pretty much blank. Now, you might have those pre-written holidays, you know, and mow the grass day, which is in March, or whatever days there are. But as far as what you put in there, you would find most every day blank. But when God picks up your date book and He flips through it, every single page, every single date is full of His handwriting. Because He knows it, because He planned it, and because it's in your hands. You know, James says that life is like a vapor. We just read it. Life is like a mist from a coffee cup that you pour in the morning or in the evening, or you go outside when it's a little cool and you can see the vapor coming from your coffee cup, and then all of a sudden, if you tried to follow the vapor up, it's gone. And as we read James, he asked this amazing question in the context of pride and the context of arrogance and the context of thinking I'm in control, in the context of thinking I'm God, I make my decisions. He said, what is your life? Do you ever stop and ponder what your life is? We might think, well, my life is my job, my life is my health, my life is my future, my life is my savings account, my life is my marriage, my life are my kids, my life is my. And those things are important in life, but James isn't thinking about that. He gives us the correct answer. What is your life? I like it when scripture writers ask a question and then give us the answer. You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. He's comparing us with God, who is truly in control. And the Greek word for vapor is the word atmos. We get our word what? Atmosphere. You can't see it. It's there. You can't touch it. You can't grab it. You can't put it in a box. Our life is something insubstantial or fleeting. That's what he's thinking. It appears for just a little time, sunrise, sunset. If I could turn back time, time keeps on slipping into the future. James says it's little, it's small, it's short, it's so few. And then what does it do? He said it just vanishes away. Just like the cup of coffee, the steam from it. Just, I don't see it anymore. As I used to get up on the airport hangar and watch the space shuttle take off in Florida, and I could see the glowing fire from its engines, and I could watch it, and it got smaller and smaller and smaller, and suddenly it would just be gone. That's what James says. You're not in charge. You're not in control. Stop being arrogant, he told the rich. In fact, James is a lot to the arrogant rich people. Your life is really insubstantial. It's here for a little time, and then it's gone. And then he gives us some great advice. It doesn't mean don't plan, but he says don't plan without realizing God is the maker of your plans. You should say, if the Lord wills, we'll go here. If the Lord wills, we'll do that. It's God who's in charge, and I am under His care. And I may have shared this before, but I remember a lady in our church in Illinois. Her name was Mabel, and she was on her deathbed. And we went to her little bitty apartment there, and a couple of her family was there, and there was a neighbor there. And a neighbor was in a wheelchair, and he wheeled up to the side of her bed. And he said, Mabel, do you need anything? And she gave a one-word answer that was such a great answer. What do you think her answer was? Time. And I remember hearing her say that. Now, Mabel was born again. She knew that she was going to enter the presence of the Lord. And she said it with a smile on her face. And even though she was very near death, her mind was still working. I thought, what a great answer. Time. Why? Because it's fleeting. It's here one moment, and then we're almost 62. And all those days and all those hours. Well, if life is so short, then there has to be a way to make it longer. It's got to go longer than Earth. Well, Paul gives the answer. We'll have our next slide up there. It's the cross. Galatians says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. His son was born of a woman. His son was made under the law. It was the perfect time in God's history, but it also was the perfect time in the fact that people were looking for the light, and they needed the light, and they were deep in their sin. And God sent his son. He was born of a woman. We just passed through Christmas, did we not? Where we emphasized the virgin conception and the normal birth and who Jesus was and why he came. And this emphasizes his perfect humanity. He had to be a human to die. He had to be human to die, to be the sacrifice for our sin. The verse also says he was born under the law. That means the law was still in effect. He would complete the law, and he did for us. Do you know, and we've said this before 1,000 times, for you and I to get to heaven, we have to keep the law perfectly. Wait a minute, that's works. Yep, sure is. But guess who did it for us? Jesus did it for us. You can legally, judiciously say, if that's the right way to say that, judicially, officially say, if you're in Christ, if you're born again, you have kept the law perfectly in Christ. He did it for you. That's why he came. And it goes on to say in verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that's us, who could not keep it on our own. Why? So that he could adopt us into his family. He purchased our freedom. He took the sin debt away from us. We'll begin to talk about that next week for several weeks. We couldn't keep the law. It's impossible. That's one of the reasons God gave all those, the Ten Commandments and all those laws, to show us you need something else. When he gave the people of Israel kings, it was always you need another king, a perfect king. You need a Savior, a true Lamb of God. And because of this, when we repent and place our faith in Christ, we are adopted into his family. And it always amazes me how people who are adopted sometimes think they're second class, or, and I know they were given up for whatever reason, and that may bring some pain, but don't ever forget the wonderful blessing of somebody coming and choosing you and bringing you into their family and giving you all of the privileges of a blood-bought son, blood-born son. That's what God has done with us. 2 Timothy 1:10 says this, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus. What did he do? He abolished death, that spiritual death. You're going to die physically. We're all going to die physically, unless the trumpet sounds before we die. But he abolished spiritual death and physical death eventually. And he brought life and immortality to light only through the gospel. Jesus defeated death and deposited into our spiritual account immortality, adoption, sanctification, and justification. You know, there was a popular movie, and I think they're making another one. I forgot the title. Who's the pirate? The famous pirate that goes like this all the time. Jack Sparrow. Is that the name of the movies? Pirates of the Caribbean. Isn't there one where they're looking for the Fountain of Youth? Okay, yeah, they're looking for the Fountain of Youth and this big drama. You got to find the Fountain of Youth. I got some news for you, class. You ready for this one? There is no Fountain of Youth. We're trying to freeze people's bodies these days. And we put them in this big capsule and you freeze them. Boy, I'd hate for the power to go out. I'd hate to thaw out in there, you know. And the hope is, and I think if I'm not mistaken, some people are putting their little poodles in there and freezing them and whatever else you got. Fish, lizard, I don't know. I guess a fish might be hard to freeze. I guess you could put the water in there. And the hope is that one day when we figure out how to cure that disease, we unthaw them and give them a shot or whatever and then go on living. They ain't going to work. There's no physical fitness program. Now, I'm all for staying physically fit. I'm all for it. That's one of the reasons why I run. I've seen too many preachers who get older and their guts sticking out to here and they can barely walk. Not me. I may get hit by a car and die, but I'm not. There's nothing wrong with being physically fit so you can serve the Lord. But we're all going to die. There's no diet that's going to make you live longer. It's simply the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus, who forgives, redeems, and gives immortality. And then we have time forever in his presence. And time will never end. Never, ever end. Let's conclude before our communion. First of all, our lives are like a vapor. They're like a vapor. One day our life will be gone here on earth and vanished. You can go ahead and put up the next slide there, King. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? It's a great question, isn't it? To start the new year. Is he your Lord and Savior? I'm amazed sometimes at Facebook theology. It's really bizarre. Hollywood theology. Any theology, which technically isn't, well, it can be a word, but not a word from God, but other than the scriptures. Because pretty much the theology is everybody goes to heaven. Everybody. Well, maybe not Hitler, you know. Maybe not Jeffrey Dahmer. Maybe not. Well, that's simply not true. You must repent of your sins and receive by faith Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To realize He is your only hope. And the only way that can happen is if God opens up your heart. There's none of this. The best decision I ever made was to trust Jesus as Savior. No, 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 no. God opened your dead, blind, dark heart. For once, I wish somebody would say that rather than, I made the best decision of my life. No, you didn't. God decided to give you light and life and immortality. That's salvation. The other gives glory to man. And I've shared this before. Drives me nuts when somebody says, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And people say, congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. What? There's no congratulations. So I just wish once, maybe I'll do it. Somebody will say, I am so thankful God opened your dead, blind, darkened, evil, rotten, hell-bound heart. I wonder what the response would be. That's salvation. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? If you died this year, would you be absent from the body and present with Him? Today is the day of salvation, Hebrews said. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus and realize He's your only hope. Secondly, since our lives are a vapor and go by so quickly and they just vanish away, we need to fill our time with doing what? What Jesus said summed up the whole Bible. Pretty simple, isn't it? If you don't know the Bible, here's the summary that Jesus said. Love God and love others. Bingo, boom, got it. That's it. Now, the others tie it all in. Don't throw that out. But and we can rejoice while we're loving God and loving others with whatever comes into our lives this year, knowing it's in the Father's hands. My times are in His hands. If a tragedy enters your life this year, God. If your body is invaded by a disease this year, God. If the unthinkable happens in your life, or in your family, or in our country, God. If you receive blessing and favor, and your loved ones come to Christ, and God allows you to buy this building and leave it and build your thing over there, or whatever happens, whatever blessing God brings, a new baby, a new son-in-law or daughter-in-law, or a new job that helps provide more, or if God grants us this building and they say, here, it's yours, God, whether pain or sorrow, our times are in His hand. But they go by so quickly, do they not? So what should we be doing while our lives are like vapors? Loving God and loving others. So what have I done with my 22,520 some odd days? What have I done with my 740 months, my 540,000 hours, my 32,439,455 minutes? What have I done with them? You know, the wonderful thing is, if you look back and go, you know, I haven't done too well. Aren't you thankful for grace that says you can start again? What a great day to start today, loving God and loving others. What will I do with the remaining? I'm going to close with this verse before we go to communion. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test. And he said, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, Well, what is written in the law? And the guy nailed the answer perfectly. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, as your neighbor as yourself. Wow, he nailed it. And Jesus said to him, You've answered correctly. Go do this and you'll live. Well, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? That ain't walk an aisle and cry. That ain't church give away free bicycles or Starbucks cards. That's go love me and go love others. Do this and you'll live. That doesn't mean you'll earn it. It means I've touched you and I've saved you and I've changed your dark soul to a bright soul, and now your life has changed and your life will show it. Fill your time with loving God and loving others. Father, as we approach your table, the table of your Son, I pray that we'd all be in an examining mood as we pray and confess sin, and as we thank you for the gift of your Son. So be glorified as we worship around your table. In Christ's name, amen. Let's see, Tim Denton and Stephen, could you come up and maybe we'll